All right. Hello. What's going on? Rich Ryan here. This is the Race Brain Podcast. We have Kirk, Bracken, and Jack on the podcast, as always, today. And we're kind of in between some things to talk about. So what we talk about different venues in OCR. We kind of rank them a little bit, sort of like a draft. We just nominate different venues in different categories and just have at it with that. So if you're looking for some different recommendations on where to go, what kind of things to expect from venues, this episode is going to be great. If you run a lot of venues, it'll be cool to kind of like listen to us talk about the ins and outs of these venues and what we like, what we don't like, and all of that all wrapped up. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Here we go. Race Brain Podcast. Boys, today we're going to talk about some venues. We're still in between events, so we're just going to talk about some stuff. If we got some time later, I want to hear the feedback that we received from the age group episode. I think we have some and some thoughts that we've thought about maybe after the fact. I think will be a fun thing. But today we're going to do a little venue draft. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to have a couple different categories of venue, and then we're going to talk about which ones are the best within those categories so that we're not just like taking completely separate angles, because it would be hard to kind of come to a consensus. Jack, what kind of categories are we thinking work for this? Like, how are we going to separate this thing out?
Yeah, I'm thinking it would be just a good idea. Just each of us nominate one venue if we're like, what's the best stadium race? What's the best mountain race out there? And we all nominate one, just take turns debating it roundtable style, and then we just choose a winner and move on.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit since I opened up with some sort of apology or anything, but I received some fact-checking after our U.S. or our World Championship episode.
About the
Eugene World Championship, where we talked about some of the races.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh nice, you got fact checked.
I've got it. Yeah, I've got it up here. Tony Reale here, where we went wrong.
I'm gonna guess it has to do with reaction time, and I was correct and you were wrong, because you said it was 1/100th of a second reaction allowed.
So first of all,
that was not the case.
First of all, Cooper Tier had a stress reaction or something. That's a technical term or something. Mm-hmm. After USA championships, and didn't run until the week of trials. So I said that Cole Hawker had like a hammy or something rear chain going on, and that's why he was limited in training. Turns out Cooper Tier was as well, which doubles down on why he ran the 15 and not the 5K.
That was something that I was talking about too, because he seems more like, and that's why I brought up maybe he should do steeple, because he's kind of in between distances. But the 5K makes sense. So him having a stress reaction is basically right before a stress fracture.
Right? Yeah. So he took time off, and then said, I can probably make it through the rounds of the 15 more than I have staying power for a 5K right now.
All right. Was it confirmed that Cole Hawker did have a rear chain issue though?
I didn't have anyone talk about that, but I for sure read that he had something going on prior and that he didn't do quality work until right before.
It's interesting, because if it was like a soft tissue issue and like an explosive muscle, you'd say, okay, we'll go run the 5K then. We're going to stay away from speed and we'll have you run a little longer and a little slower. But when it's something like bone and it's complete reaction to stress, that makes sense to go down in mileage and distance.
Well, and for a Cole Hawker, You would think that a 5K might even be more dangerous than a 1500, because you can wind up a 15. You're already running at like 55 second quarter pace. You only have to drop down to a 53 to contend on the last lap. But in a 5K, you might be running 60 second lap and then have to close in 51. And that sharp acceleration actually could be worse in a 5K if you had soft tissue. So I wonder if you had to play that game too of, do I have to launch into a kick or wind up?
More like what the training perspective would be, right? Like training for a 5K, you might not touch those type of distance type of paces. I don't know. It seems like there's no good answer for that. If you have a hammy, you're probably just not going to do very well.
Right. Second thing is that the commentators were wrong and the clock wasn't totally accurate. The women's 1500 went out in 58, not 55. Still nasty.
Makes more sense.
Still 156 pace for a bunch of women who are trying to break 4 in a 1500.
That would have won the 800, if I'm not mistaken, at 156. And they're going double the distance.
Right. So still crazy, less suicidal.
That, okay. So someone actually clocked it while they were watching. Because, right, they it seemed like on the broadcast, it was like mind-blowingly fast. But 58 makes a little bit more sense.
58 is still so fast that you would see that gap, but it made sense why people were still able to finish sub four.
It looked like there was a 200 surge at the beginning, and then they kind of came back to reality. So maybe they went out at, 27 for their opening 200 or something to be at 55 pace, and we just kind of
went right. That.
Yeah. Well, they still came through in like just a titch over two, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
through it was just still fast as heck through the 800. I'm saying,
I don't think so.
You don't think it's fast as heck,
or no? I don't think they came in just over two for the 800.
Well, I don't remember the 800 split.
Maybe they did.
Start saying stuff.
Let's just say stuff. That's what we've been doing this whole time.
They broke the North American record in the 8 en route to their 1500. How about that?
That definitely.
As long as we're putting bad information out,
whoever corrected you, keep them coming. Keep messaging Brack.
But both of those points were things I said, and I was fact checked.
Oh, nice.
So I felt like it was on me to clear the air. And you want to know who fact checked me?
Was it? It wasn't Jack
McCauley. My own brother.
Oh, that's what
fact checked me.
You know who he went? He triple checked that to make sure he could call you out.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
So the categories.
Is Paulie ever going to race again?
Okay.
Going so? Yeah.
No. That's it. All right. Categories. So Jack, you mentioned three, like stadium, flat, and mountain. Do we want to separate the mountain race, like an altitude race versus a sea level race? Or do we want to keep those the same?
Looks like Bracken wants to separate them.
I would like to keep altitude its own animal. Because you could want to go race in the mountains and want no part of altitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is strange. I was looking at the race schedule, and there aren't that many altitude races for Spartan, but they're just all part of the National Series. There's like four of them, and they just stick all the big races at them.
Hey, for clarity, are we just talking Spartan here today? Is that what we want to stick to? No. Let's see. Bracken says no. Okay, so we got free range here.
Unless we have a fifth category of just like destination or epic scale. It doesn't have to be just a wild card round, whatever it is. But I don't think we should limit ourselves to Spartan.
I don't either.
I just wanted to make sure because and Bracken, we talked about this yesterday before we hopped on and recorded our Training Tuesday, but I got a message from somebody and I thought it was a great idea about like, hey, like I don't know iconic race venues or I've only been in the sport for a year or two and I don't have the perspective you have and would love an episode. They asked, this was to the running public, if you guys could do like a venue episode, like it could be anything from roads to trails to OCR. I brought it up to Bracken and then I was thinking, well, four brains are better than two in this regard. And Bracken and I only have what limited Midwest perspective and we have an East Coaster and a mountainer. And so then it makes more sense to do all four of us, doesn't it?
I like it. I like it.
Bracken has also kind of seen everything. I don't think any of us are going to like list the 2012 Illinois super venue or something as our destination one, but like he's seen all of his jam.
Woo.
Well, that was 2016 or 15. 2012 was a different venue.
That's exactly my point.
So let's just
the man recognize. Seen some stuff.
Yeah. How seen much, some things, man.
How much should we talk about venues that don't exist anymore? For the sake of the person who reached out to Kirk, who's like looking for like, hey, where can I go? If we're like, oh my God, the Wintergreen Virginia course or whatever that is, that was called. Like that was so epic. But now it's like, okay, like. We can't necessarily.
Let's end with, if you could bring back a course, what would you bring back?
Ooh, extinct courses.
Yeah.
I think this episode should be a resource for people listening if they, cause they spend money to travel and giving them reason to focus on a course they haven't been to yet or choose to go somewhere. I think just kind of convincing them of races in which they should consider. I think that makes sense to me, doesn't it? Ones that they can actually attend. Still
agreed. Yeah. So having like its own category, like an extinct courses would be a good one. Jack's going to come through with some international ones. I've never raced international.
There are a couple really cool ones that I would love to see a similar type of race in the US.
Should we have that be its own category or does that fit into the,
let's just roll with it.
Let's just start talking.
I don't want to limit ourselves.
I want to give a heads up I'm traveling right now. And so I tried to find a shared workspace, but I found a library study room and I cleared it with everyone. But I've had the same librarian give me the stink eye like three times walking by in the window now. So I might have to go out and put out a fire at some point. So just be aware if I bail, it's because I'm trying to keep the stream going.
All right. Are you projecting a little loudly into the common area, Bracken?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. They got like children's read aloud story time going, but I don't know what the decibel rules are.
I mean, come along, children. Let's listen to some venue talk right now.
Start them young.
Start them young.
You guys want to get into OCR? Here you go. Here's your chance.
You're in a study room. You're good to go. Go tell them to chill with the stink eye. All right. So what category would we like to start with? Kirk, you have a category that you feel passionate about starting with?
Well, I think we should start. I don't know. I don't even know what all categories are in play, but I don't mind starting on the roads.
You choose the first one.
I think we should start on the roads.
Roads. Oh, okay.
I know you didn't expect that, but I think we should.
Didn't expect the roads. All right. I'm going to spin this wheel and that'll be interesting. So we're talking like marathons, half marathons,
anything on the road, 5K
type of thing. Okay. Yeah. Very, very interesting. I like it. Let's do it.
You don't like it. I can tell by your body language, but we're doing it anyways.
I like it. Roads for me. That's where I'm at. Wheel of Names
Wheel of Names.
So I'm just going to spin this thing just because I already have it up. And then whoever gets picked is starting out there. The roads. We're just going to talk about it. All right.
Wow. We're reaching today.
We said draft. We're spinning the wheel. We probably only will do it this one time. Then we'll just.
Oh,
all right, Bracken.
Well, bang. You're starting.
All right. I'm going to actually. Can I use this towards the next draft?
No.
Okay. Well,
reverse order.
I'll tell you what. I don't know exactly what you expect out of me here, but I'm going to give you something you probably didn't expect. Mount Charleston Half Marathon.
Where is Mount Charleston?
Las Vegas, Nevada. It starts up at altitude and you run down the road for 13.1 miles. And if you can handle downhill running, you're guaranteed to just fly. But it'll be below freezing at the top and it could be 70, 80 at the bottom. It's one of those run through a couple ecosystems races, but fully downhill marathon, Mount Charleston half.
So is it possible to run a fast time there or is it very scenic? I know you're saying it's downhill, but sometimes these net downhill courses that start at altitude, they end up being a little bit rolling and it can be quite a bit of pounding. So
it's almost a nonstop single digit decline for 10 or 11 miles. And then you finish flat into Vegas. If you can run downhills, you're going to run so fast.
Why would somebody choose this half marathon over, like, let's say a flat one, which then they can call a PR? This is just a one-off?
I think it's a spectacle race. When do you get to go run just unbroken in your stride for 13 miles, slightly downhill, and just reward the ability to take a pounding and run an obscene PR that doesn't mean anything other than it's awesome to have? And they bus you to the start and then you go down and like the strategy of what do I wear so that I don't have to stop and how you feel with downhill running versus flat. If you're someone like me who has no desire to go out and run a flat half, that just sounds tedious to me. This would give me a reason to do a half marathon, but it would also, you'd be able to train for it while not compromising your trail or mountain goals because you got to be bulletproof for downhills. And to me, something about running like 65, 70 minutes, just straight tearing downhill and some like boingy super shoes seems like a blast.
Is it almost a guaranteed a PR?
Because if your quads go, like if you crack, think about when you're running downhill, even in a mountain race. On the roads, when you start to crack, you can just rein it in a little bit. But once you go downhill, you're either running fast or you have to start braking. And so if you crack on something like this, no, I think you blow up spectacularly and you're just like beaten and bruised by the end and you can't run. But if you can keep attacking, I think you could just fly.
Is that like the St. George course that Hobie and Hunter recently ended up running? Because that was a Utah downhill half marathon, if I'm not mistaken.
It's that one's a net downhill, but there are some ups, there are flats, there are rollers. This is just they shuttle you to the top of the mountain and you run down on pavement.
Is there a full associated with this as well?
I don't know. I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. I think there might be a 10K where you get bussed halfway up and they run you down.
The full you turn around and go back.
Kirk, it got me rethinking about this after you ran your 918 2 mile downhill. That if you train 906, oh my goodness. Think how easy 450 pace would feel after that.
Dear, that'd be fantastic.
So probably not where you saw me going with this, but I mean, road races aren't usually my jam. That one right there is something I would travel for.
Okay.
I have the website pulled up. Start 76:33, finish 45:22. So you drop 2,015 feet in the half marathon. They do have a full.
That's perfect.
It drops 51:26.
They have a full.
You drop that can't be
literally a mile.
So the one that the one you referred to earlier, Jack, the Utah one, that was Boston certified. I can't imagine this could be Boston certified. Where is that line?
So they also have. They also have average marathon times in St. George, which I referred to 4:28:54 for the average. This one's 3:57:26, so like half an hour faster.
Yeah,
sounds about right. What date is this? What time of year? I think this is important for people to hear in case they're thinking about schedules.
April 1st, 2023.
Isn't that perfect? It's on April Fool's Day.
I just ran 59-minute half marathon. April Fool's.
Lost 3,000 feet.
Yeah. Start with gloves, arm warmers, and a hat at the top and peel off layers as you run. Whew.
It'd be interesting to feel what the breathing would be like at that high, 7,000+, and just going that fast, even though it's
descending.
Downhill.
Yeah. I mean, think about bar trail going down. It's never really your breathing, and you can run 5 low on that. And when it's smooth, bare sections, you can run relatively quick. I don't think it's the breathing. It's musculature that's going to get you.
Yeah. Throw on some of those Adidas Primex, 50 millimeters stacked up. You're good to go.
Yeah. If you're going to run a non-record eligible course anyways, you might as well wear shoes that aren't legal.
For sure.
What about that Hoka descending shoe? What shoe is that again?
The 10-9.
Looks wild.
With that wacky heel.
Would that be a good shoe? Yeah, candidate.
I think that's more for steep. I think I'd be Primax or Alpha or something and just and as you get tired, you get more oxygen. It's kind of a cool.
I think one of those shoes with the little roller skates on the bottom might be a good option for something like
that. Heelys.
Heelys. Yeah.
Jack, if you were going to go to the road, where would you send somebody?
I kind of am tempted to choose. I don't know if it's fully on the road, but is Mount Marathon fully on the road? We're going the opposite direction. Back in New Hampshire, it's like a 7.88-mile race. It's the national uphill. I don't know if it's fully on the road or not, because you can drive to the top of the mountain. I just don't know the road race, but I know that like Joe Gray and a bunch of other uphillers, they do a race like that. My gut is that it's probably not fully on the road. So I guess I'll change that and go with Brett,
can I use confused as I am? Mount Marathon, isn't that up in Alaska?
I think you're combining two races. Jack.
Sorry, Mount Washington. Why did I say Mount Marathon? Yeah,
okay.
Mount Washington.
Talk about a race that you weren't going to actually talk about, but you hid it under the veil of a different name.
No.
So let's go straight to the one you do want to recommend.
I meant Mount Washington, but I don't know if that's on the car. The road you can actually drive up or not. But because since I'm not confident on that, I'm going to go with a 1 mile downhill race, sticking with the downhill. No longer exists. Only existed for 2 years, back in Manchester, New Hampshire. And Brian Gagnon, who was a semi pro runner, he ran a 3:42 marathon on this, on the downhill. It dropped like 200 something feet in the first half mile and then flattened out. And got a decent amount of publicity for him breaking the world record. Definitely broke the real world record, but he ran faster than Hicham El-Guerrouj's time. So
what's the third one, the one that you're going to recommend people travel to and can do?
The second year of that race. So yeah.
Why don't we just call it like the Fifth Avenue Mile and just have something that people can do?
Now, Mount Washington is uphill the whole way on road, as far as I know. You can choose that one.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if it was fully on road or if they did some on dirt. That's the only reason that I got confused on it.
We're supposed to be giving people things they could like go look up and sign up for, I think.
Dude, you threw a curveball with the roads at the beginning. I wasn't ready for that.
I don't think that's a curveball.
Totally.
Jack picks the Max Apples downhill race in New Hampshire.
You're gonna do that sometime. Time. You know about that one.
I'm down.
Exactly.
Okay. Kirk, what do you think?
His category.
Okay. Well, I need to take my own advice with my suggestion here because I've actually never run the race, but I'm gonna convince marathoners. Or somebody looking to check one off their list where they should go, and that would be the Grandma's Marathon up in Duluth, Minnesota. And I will tell you many reasons why. First of all, it's a June marathon, typically. Most people are either running marathons in early spring or fall, and it's very hard to find a summer marathon that's fast in Duluth, and Grandma's is right on Lake Superior. So even for a June marathon this last year, we had a heat warning here in Minneapolis. It was 78 or 6 degrees at sunbreak. Up there, it was 53 degrees because they had the lake effect breeze coming off the lake. So you're almost guaranteed to get good conditions in the summer. So you're not going to be running. I mean, there are years where the wind comes off the dry land and it doesn't affect it. But anyways, it's one of the rare cases where you can get a summer marathon, which isn't always super hot. And that also means you have all spring to train, where some people who train for spring marathons get stuck training for marathons in the winter. So you got that going for it. You also have the fact I looked it up and I think 228 was like 76th place or something at Grandma's. So even though Grandma's isn't a headline marathon like New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, the quality of competition is absolutely fantastic. So, I mean, if 230 is almost like 100th place or something ridiculous, you got some players coming out. And then it's also a bus out and back along the shoreline of Lake Superior. So you combine those three things. If you want to run fast, it's very flat. It's typically cooler temps in the summer, and it's got great competition. So it's not a lot of people's radar if you're not in the Midwest, but there's a reason that pros fly out to do it every single year, and it's for those reasons. So I think Grandma's Marathon.
I love that one. That course to me is similar, like just with the competition piece, like the CIM. The California International, just in terms of like people that go out and can get a good time. I think that's where Nell had her breakout, right? I think she won that one year and it was like, oh wow, this person's going to be awesome at marathoning. And since
Nell Rojas lives in Colorado and flew all the way to, you know, middle of nowhere, Minnesota to run this marathon. So it's just a really worthy, summer event. And how many summer event marathons can you think of where you're more likely to get cooler temps than not? I can't think of very many.
I think there's a Rock and Roll in Seattle. That's like in like, but you're looking like there, like Pacific Northwest is the only place where you can really find something. So
yeah, that's my road race. See, now people can actually use that, Jack.
I know.
In case you're wondering.
Look, I'm taking last place in this category. I'm well aware of that.
I mean, just for a man who lives off of details and data, you chose to ignore a very important one, which is that it's an existing race.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the Andor 5K this year.
Yeah. My mistake was opening an email from my boss and quickly thinking I could email or send a quick reply while doing this, and then totally lost where I was at, and then Rich threw it at me, and that was a bad idea.
You're doing a bad job at both your jobs.
Yep. Now. Totally.
I'm gonna go with the one road race that I've done the most, I think, is the Broad Street Run in Philadelphia, and this was just like a hometown race for me, but it's a huge, I think it's the first or second biggest 10 mile in the country. I think the other one would be there's the Peachtree, I think, in Georgia is another big 10 miler. I love a 10 mile distance. It's not as intimidating as a half marathon, even though it's only 3 miles shorter. And this race, it also gives you a slight downhill, maybe like 1%, like barely something you can't even really notice, but it is a straight point to point from North Philly to South Philly. Like, and you finish right beyond the stadiums, and the competition is really strong. Like to run, like the winner, East Africans come out and they run like 45 minutes for this race. And so it's really competitive. It's early May. I think it's usually that first weekend in May. So the weather is a bit of a roll of the dice in the Northeast, where it can be really humid. It's been really cold and rainy. It's been beautiful, but it's a really fun day, a great time. You finish down by the stadiums and it's just kind of like a party afterward. It's a really good, fun day to kind of kick off that kind of finishes the spring season in the Northeast, because after that, it's a little bit too hot for the rest of the time. So like I said, I like a 10-mile distance. Once you get to 10K and a 10-mile, you can just hang on. You just have to grit your teeth and finish the thing.
What have you run in it? I know you've had some speedy 10 miles.
Yeah, there's I think it was 52 40 something twice there, and like two and like 10 years apart. I did it when I was like 24, and then again when I was like 34. So I was pretty pumped about that.
Rolling like 5:15 pace or something?
Something like that, like 5:17. Nice. Yeah.
What time of day is that?
Early.
Okay. Because I think if I could make one recommendation rather than a race defined as a race type, I feel that everyone should run a nighttime road race once in their life. I've run the Full Moon 4-miler, the Storm the Bastille.
I ran Bastille. We ever go
Bastille ahead days? Probably not. I was already finished probably by the time you were, realizing that. You were done cooling down. Oh. but there's something about a nighttime summer night, pitch black, running under the street lights, road race they've done those studies that it's really hard to judge pace in the dark. Hmm. And you combine that with people to run with and a watch, and it's like the best of both worlds. You can look down and see your pace, but feel like you can't feel the pace. It's like probably the closest I've been to runner's high during a race, because it just doesn't feel the same. Kind of reduces pain a little bit. And it's just I've always had a great time racing at night. So I think everyone should find a nighttime road race one time and just have a blast.
A lot of the, talking about Bastille Days 5K, a lot of the major cities will have like one sort of signature race throughout the summer. Like, and this was in Milwaukee, and they shut down like streets in downtown Milwaukee, and you're running through the big buildings under all the city lights. It almost feels like you're doing something you shouldn't. You're running right down the middle of roads that would typically be super busy. And you're right, there's like some energy with that that is just fantastic. So look in your city, because I agree, that's a race I'll never forget. Mm-hmm.
I think Rock and Roll Vegas is a nighttime race. A half. Ooh, that'd be cool. Yeah. So
you're kind of need to keep it cooler for that.
I think that is in the fall. It's like November, I think. Yeah. All right. I like Kirk's. I'm going to go ahead and I like, that's where I'm leaning toward.
I'm picking Bracken's.
Come on.
I'm going to try Jack's.
Rich?
I guess I'm picking Rich's.
I'm picking Jack's too.
Yeah. Rich, do we get a spit take there?
I will get a three.
All right. Jack, you win that one. Congrats. Oh,
did not see that coming.
Drop the data. Just go with your heart a little bit more often, and you know, you get rewarded with whatever comes from it. For winning the last section, why don't you go ahead and pick the next category, Jack?
We're gonna go stadiums.
Way to go, Jack.
Stadiums.
Okay. Spartan stadiums.
Kirk, how many stadiums have you run?
One.
Okay.
I got a lot of perspective here.
Why don't you go ahead and go first?
I'm probably gonna be pretty worthless here. So I don't know what to tell you. I can say, and the problem is that I think if you're going to run a stadium, you want to run an iconic stadium, right? And on paper, isn't AT&T Stadium kind of look like the – if you're going to get scared by a stadium race, I can only think of one in the country that I think would scare people. But I haven't raced it, so I don't want to steal somebody else's answer, because it's inevitably going to be one of your answers. So – I think I'm just going to – can I have like a buffer, a pass round, since I have limited experience? I ran Lambeau Field once.
There we go.
I ran Lambeau Field the only time it was there, and I came 19 seconds away from beating Bracken.
But didn't you lose like Kent and Killian, and like it was a cluster, you guys?
For a while, yeah. But nonetheless, I took fourth.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning.
Oh, you know? I was pointing out that he was fourth, not second. So
I was just quoting Dom Toretto.
Yeah, I remember that first race we took off, and they had that under crawl. It's like rubber bands that are just going across like a hallway, as you guys know. And I didn't realize it was there. They put us around a 90 degree turn right at the start, and Bracken clearly had studied the course, and he was already bear crawling. Like, he already had a 15 meter lead on us 10 seconds into the race. Well, I got clotheslined, ended up on my back. Nobody told me that was coming. I didn't know it was going to be that low. So thanks a lot for that, Bracken. I think I would have beat you otherwise.
Probably.
But I didn't. That's it. Move on.
Lambo's a good one. It could always come back. And being someone from Green Bay area, it has to be nice to hit a hometown race like that.
It sure was.
It was cool, but it was disappointing. A, we got no turnout. I was so disappointed in the state of Wisconsin that you couldn't sell out Lambo Field.
When was it? It must have been in the spring.
Midsummer, June.
Summer.
Second of all, it was under construction at the time. Third, it drizzled. It was just like, it was a letdown for me.
It's the Wisconsin experience, you know?
Because you knew by the time I checked in, I knew it wasn't coming back. And that was frustrating.
What is it? It's got to be hard to get to Green Bay, right? From someone outside of, like, if I was to get to Green Bay, how do I get there?
You'd fly to Milwaukee and make an hour and a 45-minute drive to Green Bay for cheapest flight. Not terrible, but not great.
But it's the worst stadium in all the series we've ever done to get to.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it's a regular Spartan race, you're kind of expecting, you know, an hour to 2 hour drive, depending on where you're coming to and from, because they're in the middle of nowhere. But usually a stadium, it's like
Uber.
You can Uber.
Yeah. You don't even bother getting a rental car half the time for stadiums.
Yeah.
I will say, though, because I've only done one, I know you've all done more stadiums than I have, I believe. Rich, how many have you done?
I've done two venues.
Okay, two. Okay. Well, I was amazed. Like, I felt like my fitness was good enough to warrant a podium position back then, but there was such a learning curve in watching guys like Bracken and even Killian snake through some stuff and just take seconds here and lines there between the bleachers. It was very eye-opening. It's one of those races that I don't think you could go and race to your absolute potential your first go at it, no matter what. And I will say, so the learning curve was pretty steep. And in that regard, it was really eye-opening and cool. If I'm not going to give you a good venue justification, I will say that it was a great experience, much different than any other Spartan race that I've ever run.
I agree. There's a race sharpness to it
mm-hmm.
that you really have to be prepared for, regardless of your fitness.
Rich, where are you going with?
So I'm just going to keep it Philly here. I'm going to Citizens Bank Park. I've only done Citizens Bank and Citi Field. So for me, Citizens Bank, it's reliable. It's always going to be there. You get.
They usually don't move venues. So yeah.
Well, Lambo. Oh, you mean the actual venue?
Yeah.
It happens every year is basically what I'm saying. So you can count on being there.
Jack's trying to claw his way back into this.
Yeah. I know. You're way behind.
Bash me. I'm going to throw in a couple punches.
Just going to throw some haymakers, see if they land. Yeah. I mean, I don't have too much experience like Kirk the same way. Like, what is a good venue? What's not? Citizens Bank seems to give you a lot of what I would imagine a typical stadium would give you. I loved it because I could Uber there, slept in my bed, saw the Philly Fanatic. He's hilarious. Can't beat him. And yeah, that's all I really got for Citizens Bank. What's your take on Citizens Bank compared to other ones, Jack and Bracken, since you guys done a couple?
Only time I've ever done it, I got in at 2 a.m. and then the hotel gave away my room and I got stuck with the smoking room and I got like an hour of sleep. It was a bad pre-race experience, but the venue itself I liked. Definitely didn't feel too great that day, but I remember it had a good kind of mix of a good amount of climbing for a baseball stadium. And it's more modern than Fenway where you're just kind of having all these jagged edges and stuff. But I felt like they had a good mix and a good use of a baseball stadium. It was around like 30 minutes also, which is probably 4 to 5 minutes longer than most of the baseball stadiums you get.
Yeah. I think that like, if you went for scale and scope, AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play is just huge. You could hold a super distance. You could hold probably a 15K there without doubling up on anything. It's massive. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of just like a mountain race. There's just so much space. You just climb. There's 2,000 feet of vert on you. You know, that's outrageous. Then you have on the other end of the spectrum, you have Fenway, which I think is one of the most iconic venues in all of sport. And if I could only go to one to experience it, it might be that one. It just sits right in the middle of the city. You can just walk and eat anywhere you want. It's this, you walk in there and it just feels different. But I don't think either of those are the best representation of a stadium race. I think Citizens Bank or City or a small football stadium are the two best. A big or mid-sized baseball stadium or small football, because you get plenty of stairs, but you also can run a little bit, and sometimes you can get outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so you get a mix of all three, where in Fenway, you're just 20 seconds of this, 20 seconds of that. There's no room to go anywhere else. And in Dallas, you might do something for 10 minutes straight. So I like that big baseball or small football. So honestly, of all that I've ever done, and I've done a soccer stadium, several football. I did a massive one down in Mexico City. That was a huge soccer stadium, baseball. I think Citizens Philly or our Citizens Bank, City Field or Nationals Park are probably my three favorites, just in terms of it's a mix of everything.
Nice. Yeah, because that's what Fenway feels like to me. I've never done it, but I've been to Fenway, and just I can't imagine running anywhere in there. And you can't really take it outside. Yeah.
Philly might be my one if I could choose. I think it's the best experience.
That's my pick.
Of the race itself. Not the best experience for the weekend, because who wants to go to Philly? No, like you step outside the stadium and it's like chop shops and like stick ups.
You're out
but,
there.
Yeah. But in it, it's awesome. But Tampa, back in the day, the Raymond James Stadium was incredible because they have green space outside of it. So the final 1,000 meters had a rolling mud. It had dunk wall. It had a rope climb outside in grass. Spear throws outside. You had a jerry can carry outside. It was like 2/3 of a stadium race, 1/3 of a sprint, a Florida sprint. And that was very unique.
What would be your justification or your selling point for somebody to go and do a stadium that hasn't? Because some people look at like it as a completely different animal that you have to train specifically for. And I would agree with that. So a lot of people avoid them, right? They're saying, I'm going to stick to traditional OCR Spartan races. Why should somebody, in your opinion, give it a shot? What's the draw?
Easy sell is if you're a sports fan. You get to go pick a stadium that or a team that you've always wanted to go see. You get to go in the locker room. There's always a push-up or a slam ball or some station in the locker room. You get to run through the clubhouses. You get to touch the field, run around the warning track, run past home plate, go through the dugouts. It's a cool experience. But on the other side of the coin, if you don't care about sports, it is wake up in the hotel, Uber to the facility. You can be back, shower, eat breakfast, go back. Again, the convenience is crazy. There's no mud, no barbed wire,
no water. Yeah. Some people don't like that stuff.
I don't like that stuff.
I don't really like it either. Yeah.
You're in the city. So as soon as you're done, you've got all the city stuff to do as well nearby. Yeah.
It's also really conducive for multiple laps. Mm-hmm. I feel like you just rip laps and laps if you want to go good training stimulus afterwards, which I recall we did. That's also what was disappointing about Lambeau. They didn't let us on the field. They didn't put us in the locker rooms because they were under construction. They just took all those things away. It's not cool. Yeah. Not cool.
Tell you what I want, though. I think you could have done it in the Meadowlands. You can do it down in Texas. I think you could do it at Raymond James. I'd want to go to Philly, I believe. You could do it. Go to a place with two stadiums in close proximity and run a stadium, transfer to the other one and finish there. I think a super distance two stadium would be the most incredible thing you could do.
Yeah. Yeah. Philly's basically built for that. All the stadiums are right next to each other.
You could run a beast. You could hit three stadiums there.
Throw it into Wells Fargo.
They always have the logistics issue of like just snagging a venue for those is tough, right? They always have to move those weekends around because of other events going on. But I would sign up in a heartbeat, even if they made it a super and I'm not a stadium specialist, you'd get such a draw.
So I'd say,
oh my God, it'd have to be like a 3-day event.
It's Fenway for ambiance, AT&T Stadium for just epic scale, but I would take Philly. I would go for Philly. One course to rule them all.
All right, I'm putting you down for Citi Field since you stole my pick.
Now, so you've got Lambeau for Kirk, Philly for Rich, and Philly for Bracken?
No, give me Fenway then. It's too iconic.
Right. Yeah. Well, if nobody picked AT&T Stadium, that's the only one right now that I would go travel to.
I haven't gone yet. Yeah.
Should have done AT&T?
I'm definitely doing AT&T for the venue.
Okay, that's the only stadium in the country in which I would buy a plane ticket and go for to experience. So that's mine then.
Now, I wish that they would go back to the I love 20, 25 minute shorter stadiums, but there's just something about being in a 40 minute race like they've had a couple of times and just the endless stairs. They had a 4.5 minute sandbag carry in the upper bleachers this past race. Like, you just go up and down. It's so massive. They do a good job utilizing outdoors as well. They have several obstacles. They let you run around kind of the courtyard or whatever the technical name for that is. Finish in the middle of the stadium, like right on the Dallas Cowboys star. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but the fact that, like, that's just an iconic type of view. You've got the giant Jumbotron that they don't use well enough for spectators, but the potential's there. I get what you were saying earlier, Brocken, where it's essentially just a mountain race where you're just doing the same task 10 minutes over and over again, but you do that in a lot of races anyway, where it's just, we need to have a little bit of separation. So go ahead and run some bleachers. If you're going to do it anyway, might as well be at the best, most iconic venue. So my pick's AT&T Stadium in Dallas.
Can't argue that.
I win.
Lambo?
Kirk took your pick. I think Kirk took your pick before you took your pick. But I'm glad we got some AT&T. I would just go there, wear Eagles gear, and just start giving Dallas fans, put them in headlocks.
Yeah.
Giving wedgies. Be great.
Wow.
That's what I would do there.
Some serious
classic Philly behavior.
That's how I would do it.
Isaiah Vidal 2.0.
Yeah, me and him would just go bully people.
All right. So we're let's do pick. I'm going AT&T Stadium, obviously. So
you want to stall pick again?
No.
I need a reality, like I need like a sound drop of like the point thing, the bling bling, bling bling, just giving points away and just arbitrarily picking a winner.
Yeah.
Bracken, your argument wasn't great. Jackie, win this one.
2-0, Jack.
All right, so I have picked three venues and you guys have only picked two, so I guess
never lost.
It's Jack, we're gonna have to really in here. All right, Bracken, what category of course do you want to take on?
Give me non-altitude mountain races.
Perfect. Perfect.
U.S. only?
Jack.
Are we sticking North America for now?
Okay.
Because we're going to have our foreign
category. We can do a foreign category. Yeah. North American sea level mountain.
Okay. If I'm picking, I'm starting off. And I think it's easy to say Palmerton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, though. Because I feel like it's expected at this point what the course is. It's known. The first year or two was so crazy. I'm actually going to take New Jersey.
Vernon.
New Jersey, nice. Super. Yeah, Vernon.
The Super or Beast?
I mean, it's the same mountain.
It is. Different.
But I, venue, so. They have an incredible front side of the mountain, which is Palmerton-esque, but maybe not quite as steep, but it's runnable. It's grassy. Then on one face of it, they have these rocky, nasty, like rock slide scramble sections you can use. On the backside, it's these twisty, super fast rolling trails, and you can use all of it. And they have used it all in the past. And sometimes you get nasty weather, sometimes you don't, but it's just a course that, like, if I could live on one mountain to train, it might be that one. If it was not at altitude, Palmerton would be the easy choice, but you really have one type of slope there. Mm. And that's it. Like, we skate to one song and one song only at Palmerton, but in New Jersey, you get everything you could ever ask for. And if they want to make it technical and nasty, it's as technical as you can get. You know, there are parts of it that are back, like those old tri-state races or the Virginia race, Wintergreen. But it's just everything I would want mixed into one. And you could have three different races there and have three different courses, where in Palmerton, you're going to get one style of course.
Mm-hmm. This was my first outdoor Spartan race. And it was the Beast in April. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I was like, this is absolutely impossible. How am I? And I thought it was the biggest mountain in the entire world. When you go back to it, it really isn't a very intimidating mountain, like a venue itself, but they do a good job of making it really difficult. And then I did the Super in November one time where it was like 39 to 40 degrees and raining. Coldest I've ever been. This is really Spartan, a very Spartan-esque type of course, where if you want it to be hard, it's going to be hard.
And I would have picked Killington. Killington, but I didn't think anyone was going to vote for this, and someone's going to say Killington.
Good pick.
You think that's a travel-worthy race? Go across country? Like you're saying it more so like if somebody sees Palmerton, Killington, say a West Virginia on the calendar, you still think it's good enough as of an experience that you could choose it over some of those others?
Well, I would lump West Virginia in with Asheville or Montana, where I don't call them mountain races, even though they have vert. So I don't know if I'd recommend it over that, just different. But I mean, if I could only travel for one, it's going to be Killington. But I have a soft spot for Vernon, and I wanted a vote for it. Mm-hmm. Even if at the end I vote for Killington, New Jersey is worth going to. Yeah.
It feels if like I had New Jersey is full of local, like that's a local race. Nobody flies out to it. It only gets the East Coasters, but you see everybody at Killington, Palmerton. So yeah. I think it's a good argument you make because it just doesn't seem like a travel type race in most people's eyes.
If I could only go to one, it'd be Killington. But if I went to New Jersey, I would never be disappointed.
I like it. Nice job. There you go. I'm going now, and I'm picking Palmerton because I'm going to pick all my races to be in Pennsylvania, and I'm running out of venues here. But I do agree with what you're saying. It is going to be one type of course where Vernon, it's going to have a couple different variations of it. But that first climb is just so hard, and it's like 1,000 feet basically in the first mile and a half, which is pretty crazy for a Pennsylvania type course. That sandbag carry used to be double sandbag carry. They still had the single sandbag carry, go down a double black diamond, turn around, come right back up. It's just really hard, challenging stuff. It's in July, so it's hot and humid. Ape hanger is there every single year. You can count on that, which is a little bit different than what most venues are going to give you in terms of obstacles. So if you like obstacle innovation, like you're not going to get that very much from Spartan, but in this case, you have at least one that you might not get at every venue. It can be technical, like if you wanted to run back into the wooded area. Some years they do kind of take it onto some rocky terrain, where other years they kind of take you up that. But there are parts that are pretty ankle-breaking, scary descents.
It has one of my favorite descents in that little strip of woods down that shaley loose. That's one of my favorites. And if they used more of that stuff, it probably supplant New Jersey for me.
They've been going up that direction the past couple of years, and it's still a hard climb, but it's more, you're kind of going over rocks and roots and kind of needing to like kind of scramble your way up. But yeah, that's a pretty nasty descent.
Going down that the first time, we had a U.S. National Series race there in 2017, my first year doing it. And I think I was in like 10th or 12th at the time, and we were ripping that descent. I think Bracken, you were commentating, and all I knew is it was scary because there's all these like ankle-sized trees, maybe wrist-sized trees down there. And every single one of them had these big, wet sweat marks from hands as people are monkey-grabbing down the whole double black diamond-type grade. And it was like you had to use the trees so you didn't actually die. And they were just slathered in sweat from everybody in front of me going down that little bit that was so steep. You needed the trees to stay in control, which I've never seen in another race. Every tree had sweat marks on it from people grabbing them with their hands. That's dope.
It is a hard course. Like it is, you're going to go there, how prepared you are. Like there's some courses that people would deem as easy in Spartan now, but not Palmerton, really not Vernon either, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go there, you're going to get a real Spartan experience at Palmerton.
Good job, Rich.
Thank you. Who's up? Kirk, you up or Jack? Sure. Or Jack, you went last time. Jackie, go now.
All right. So the category, just to make sure, is non-altitude mountain courses, right?
In North America.
North America.
North America. Gotcha.
It's still something that's active.
Gotcha. I think if we're not limiting this to Spartan.
No.
I like Stratton for OCR Worlds. I think I've never run Killington, and I imagine it's even steeper based on the reputation it has. I've snowboarded there, but since I've never done Killington, I'm going to go with the other mountain course in Vermont. Coming from Cotto, I was like, okay, it's Vermont. It's not going to be that bad. Like just cause the mountains out here are just so much bigger. But once I got to the venue, I was like, that's going to be a tough climb. And then just seeing how difficult it was for people on the second climb in the 15K, that was like such a game changer for all the top athletes there. I think that the course is truly what made the difference rather than the obstacles at OCR Worlds. And that just shows you how difficult the venue was. Can make up a ton of ground on some of those descents. It typically rains in the fall when the race is held. So it was pretty muddy. And so even though, so you had like steeper climbs, muddy descents, dry descents, a little bit of flat running in the festival area, the fact that there was the festival area with all the accommodations built in there, you have like your little shopping area just outside of it. I was impressed with the whole area. So that's my pick.
I think we'd be nitpicking to find flaws with anything, but one criteria I have that would mean I wouldn't choose that one or Palmerton is that you never get to crest the mountain and go down the other side. For some reason, I have this strange criteria that I need to be able to get on the other side because it's always a different type of terrain. With Stratton, you really have that one type of descent.
Yeah.
Like, and you just turn and come back. There's some, I don't know why, maybe it's a dumb criteria, but I like the fact that in New Jersey, you can go up over the top and down the other side. And at Stratton, you get to the top and there's service road up there and you're blocked. You can't go anywhere but turn left or turn right. That's nitpicking.
It might be dumb. It might be dumb criteria.
Yeah.
It could be. I haven't even thought about something like that, but I like your pick, Jack. I think that is fair. And outside of the Spartan realm, which is,
yeah, I just think that festival area and like the fact that it's kind of built into a village that gives it a little extra, and that's common in a lot of races as well, but sometimes they're a little farther away, like not right on site. So Kirk, what you got?
Well, I don't know how on earth Bracken alluded towards this is not a mountain race, but when the biggest hill at your backyard is 145 feet of gain, doesn't take a very big hill to look like a mountain to me. So, I'm going with West Virginia without question. Last time I was there, it was over 4,000 feet of vert for the beats the last time I raced there.
Yeah.
And there isn't another more very, if you're going to get something in which I classify as a mountain race, which I do, I know the biggest climb's only like 500 feet of gain, but it is the most varied course in the country. We all know that. We all talk about that. You have now what's become a signature swim, which is a game changer when you're out there swimming for 5 to 10 minutes. You can't get that in any other mountain venue that I know of. And then just the varied terrain while still being a mountain race gives flatlanders some hope. And I think that it is, it can be the most simulated in most places of the country as far as training goes. Even I can go justify going to my 145-foot ski hill and going up and down and calling it purposeful West Virginia training. And so I think if you're looking at something to dip your toes into the water and you don't live in the mountains, I think West Virginia is hands down still a mountain course, very challenging, very terrain. In my opinion, the overall best course in the country if we covered all categories. So if I can't include it here, I don't know where I would. So that's my answer.
I think this is without question the most fair course in the entire venue list that Spartan has, like what you're saying, Kirk. Like you don't have – it's not at altitude. You don't need to – it's not a crazy climb. I consider this a mountain race as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm with 4,000 feet, that's a mountain race.
No. I'm not arguing that there's not elevation. I'm saying you're not on a mountain. At no point do you stand there and be like, you know where we are? We're in the mountains. In the United States of America, if it is even close to a mountain, you can downhill ski and snowboard there because we are a consumer culture. They will sell it out. You can't even ski or snowboard at this place because it's not a mountain. It has vert. But it is not a mountain. If you stand at the base and you can't see a mountain, it's not a mountain.
I don't know. Because when you drive into West Virginia, it feels like you're in the mountains. Like when you're going to that area, it might not be like the area itself feels like mountainous. I would say that's the mountain. Isn't it called like the Mountain State or something like that? The Mountaineers are there.
I bet you if I look on Strava, there's like they're labeled the peaks around there. I bet you are labeled. I'll look later, but just trust me on that. I win this one too.
It's in the Appalachians, so
yeah, it's part of a range.
It is one of the top three best courses in the U.S. in terms of varied. It is one of the top three most fair courses. It is incredibly vert specific at times, but you're not on a mountain. And I will never admit it.
Where is this course going to pop its head up then? Because if we're going to cover flat terrain, we're going to cover – where is there going to be a place for this to be mentioned? Just in
I want it to be the all-around course. I want a debate just for that because it deserves its place.
Okay.
Move it into that. No Killington on this list. No Killington here. I've actually never done Killington. It just doesn't fall at a great time of year. I've never been to –
2 weeks before championship season, that's just not worth putting your body through it.
Yeah.
It's worth everyone doing once.
I've never been to West Virginia. Yeah.
Does Montana fit this? I left it off. Does Montana fit this non-altitude mountain course then, in your opinion?
I think it's closer than West Virginia is. I don't count it, but I think you'd have a better argument for that than West Virginia. But I still wouldn't count it,
somewhere around there.
I would lump it in with Asheville, West Virginia, that kind of thing.
It's about 3,000 feet.
Yeah, it's
Montana starts at about 3,000 feet elevation.
Yeah. I was hoping Kelowna would kind of be like the West Virginia West, but it's not looking like it's going to be that way. It says starting at 5,000 feet is just another freaking altitude race to finish things up.
So glad I didn't book a ticket because I was starting to consider it. Then I saw that altitude and I was like, oh God, save myself $2,000.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not making that money back, folks.
All right. Well, if no one said it, I'm voting for Killington.
Okay. Killington gets the race brain wild card.
I'm going with Kirk, West Virginia. I didn't pick it because I never ran it, but I think that that's the best venue.
I'm also taking West Virginia. Great venue. Nice job, Kirk. Take that W.
How can we be a trusted source if we list West Virginia as a mountain race?
Enjoy that win, Kirk.
Have you not understood that the worst answer gets everybody's vote at this point, Bracken?
Well, I'm voting Abu Dhabi for altitude mountain race then. Have you seen that climb?
Wet.
There's over 1,000 feet of vert on that course. Are you kidding me?
That is a climb.
I can prep for that in Wisconsin at the dunes.
Bracken, when you hit the table, I'm hearing a little bit on the microphone. Just letting you know.
He's angry.
Yeah. West Virginia takes that win. I haven't nominated. So let's go flat. Flat OCR course. And I'm gonna go second here. Jack, you lead us off.
I don't think I've gone first yet.
I don't think so.
Okay. Based on all the coverage that I've seen, I don't remember which of the two venues in the area it was, but I'm going Seattle. What was the year that Mike Ferguson was up in the front?
2017.
Which one's that? There's Snohomish, and then there's another one.
Over it was there. Snohomish.
It was that one. Okay. That venue, just so green, so muddy, so variable. They just make such good use of the terrain. And I remember watching that and thinking, if there's a course, like if there's Seattle next year, I'm going to do that one. But it fell on the same day as AT&T Stadium for the stadium series. But that was the one course that I remember watching in live coverage and thinking, if I could do a destination race, that would be it.
It's coming up this weekend.
Is it?
Not too late to book your ticket, folks.
I've got a wedding in Atlanta, so I can't go.
Seattle's this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
The Beast course?
And the Sprint Super. Yep.
Nick Mass is going to destroy everyone if he goes there.
Don't come to Seattle and expect to take a W because Nick Mass will be standing there waiting.
He might be going after that fastest ever Beast. I remember he asked about that earlier this year, so I think he's going He's going hard on this one.
What was his time last year? Was it like 120 like something?
26 or something.
And he missed the spear, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like his area. So yeah. I like this one, Jack. There is, I think you can get about 1,000 feet on this, but I would still consider this flat. Because it's just, it's very flat, concentrated.
Look at the opening mile. That is just, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the year I ran it, it
the uphill the whole mile
was straight up. Like we caught everything in like the first, what, Kirk, mile and a half, 2 miles was the first.
Yep.
Only hilly parts. And then it's just completely flat. So even though you can get some, it's not like a, I wouldn't consider this hilly. Good pick. All right. Who's up?
Bracken is next.
Bracken, you're going.
I might be pouting.
It seems like it.
For two reasons. One, because you guys are jerks. But two, because they've removed every race I would have ever put in this category. I would have put Glen Rose in this category. They're not back there this year in Texas. I would have put the Washougal course. I don't believe they go to Washougal anymore. I would have put the old Marseilles course in Illinois. They're not there anymore. I would have put the U.S. Whitewater Center down in Carolina. They don't go there anymore. They had a Georgia race on this series of Finger Lakes that was incredible. And I commentated it and was bummed I didn't get to run. And they didn't go back there. All of their best flattish, awesome terrain where you're just in and out of the woods and short little ravines. And they don't. They're gone. So I don't even know if I have one I could choose right now.
You want to pass?
Washougal is in September, so you can choose that.
Then I'm going to take Washougal. But Jack might get credit for that one, too.
You mentioned it. I was just fact-checking it, like McCall.
I mean, is there anything else that I'm missing? These iconic flat races? We have Seattle.
Jacksonville.
I don't even like Jacksonville.
That new Asheville course. what is the Chicago race that is that it's not there that you're saying?
Richmond Hunt Club.
Oh, I love that venue. That's my favorite venue to date if you're going fast.
The you can old be
up
one.
To your crotch in muck. And it was just a fantastic venue if there was rain, wasn't it? Did you guys run there in 2018, the National Series race, when it was just
sloppy?
Oh, so fantastic.
How about Las Vegas? Does that have in the sand? Does that have anything?
Why don't you quiet down before I get to my answer, Jack?
Gotcha.
Kirk, why don't you go ahead and pick?
Yeah.
Las Vegas. Because, I was waiting on that one, Jack. Now, they can make that course an absolute miserable experience, in which it was 1 year I did it, and then another year they were a little kinder and put us on less of the sandy stuff. But in the same year, we ran 3 of the 8 miles in sand, in which you basically feel like you're running in place. We went down through the river where the course required you to go through the river for maybe 100 yards. And they have that really steep bluff there or cliff face in which they can put you up and down. And so you got these like unique things which make it annoying, but that's kind of what we seek out in this sport. And so Vegas is just a nice time of year. It's in the early spring. It's a really good rust buster for people. And although it's flat and you have an opportunity to run fast, it's pretty gritty for what you would call a dry course. And so I like Vegas for those reasons. I mean, I've destination traveled to that race weekend twice now because I like it so much. And I don't do that very much other than for series races or a one-off. And so I'm a big fan of Vegas.
It's a good time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is a good time to kind of get out and just, yeah, like I said, bust that rust.
Yeah.
Bust a lot of people show up to it early on. That's kind of like it's universally accepted as there are going to be good competition every time.
No, that's my vote. Vegas.
All right. How about Savage Dade County, the Florida race, the first one in the series this past year?
Amelia Earhart Park.
Is that what it is?
In Miami? I've been there a couple times, if that's the case.
No, am I saying the wrong one? Bracken, what's that venue, the first one? I don't think it's that far south. Is it not Dade County? Am I wrong?
Is it Zephyr? No.
It's like right around where their headquarters is. So they always have...
Yeah,
like interesting obstacles.
Is that that horse?
Yeah, some sort of equestrian park.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a cool venue.
Early in the year, and they, because it's close Dade to their headquarters, City. Dade City, not county. Okay.
Dade of County course. Is Rick Ross.
So Dade City it is. And yeah, they kind of break out the special ops.
Little Everglades Ranch.
Yeah. Okay.
Fine. I'm taking Georgia, Savage, Georgia.
Okay. We got two Savage in the mix. Dade City and Georgia. Tell us about Georgia since you were that. I thought that was a little bit more.
It's hilly.
And hilly, right? It's not mountain.
It's not mountain. Well, it depends who you put out there. Kirk might bring his skis.
Yeah, I will.
It's probably as close to some of these other Spartan venues that are no longer there as you can get. A lot of running through the trees, a lot of bushwhacking, but bombing down through little hills that aren't on trail. It's a good mix of everything. It has vert, but it's not, you're never running uphill for longer than 30 or 40 seconds. So it's Savage's probably top two most iconic courses and my favorite of theirs. So that's what I'm going to take.
All right. I like it.
I'd like to make a runner-up plug for a course as well, which people don't really think about. And that would be the Red Deer Alberta course, which I ran my very first year in Spartan. And it's been a venue that I think is very worthy of the travel if you are a flatlander. They do a really good job of putting you on some really cool and gnarly single track down into a riverbed. There's a very steep rock or a cliff that comes out of the river that they force you up and through. And the Canadian guys over there just do a really good job of using all the terrain, making really annoying sections of the course by using what they have available. And I would say now that I have more perspective and I've raced a lot of courses over the last 5 years, it's about as gritty as it can get for a flat course. You get open running, you get hilly running, rolling hills, you get super cool single track. You have the river there. I don't think you guys have raced there, but I would consider that a destination race that falls way under the radar. And as you know, Canada gets a little, I don't know with the merger, but Canada gets a little crazier with some of their courses, which is also like an added bonus.
Is Mick Turello beatable there?
He's the GOAT.
Well, not to pat myself on the back, but I did have a lead on him until I started failing shit. So maybe not.
He might be beatable.
Yeah. That man's fit right now.
Is he fit? Will we see him at Clone, you think?
Yeah.
I would assume so. He's solo.
He already said, yeah.
Nice.
He time trialed sub 16 this year.
Nice. That's great for him.
Yeah, he's never been like the speediest runner in the group. So if he's in sub 16 shape, he still has all his other skills too. It's dangerous.
I still think he is the best mountain climber who doesn't live in the mountains that I know.
Yeah, he had some good finishes at West Virginia, and he had at where is Blue Mountain in. Oh, we'll probably see him there too, right?
Blue Mountain. Is he better than you?
Me?
How about face standing? Me?
He's at least as good, if not better, at climbing, I think. For living somewhere flat than me, yeah.
How about Faye Stenning, who lives in New York City?
We haven't seen her in like three years. Still race?
Who knows? Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. She did pretty well at Big Bear, better than I thought she would have done it at a race like that. Okay. And Jacksonville, I think we should talk about a little bit for Spartan, just because that it does. It's maybe not the coolest or greatest course, but it's iconic because it kind of kicks off the season, right? People know it's going to be like a big race. For the past couple of years, this year was still part of the age group national series, and it's flat, but it's nasty. So you're going to have to deal with some elements that you might not typically get outside of Florida. So it does kind of add a different wrinkle than what you'll get at most Spartan races. So I never hated Jacksonville, but I think it's like, oh, it's not the mountain, just not that hard, like kind of stuff. But it's not like the fast runners don't necessarily win that race.
Nice thing about Jacksonville is when they make you finish, which they typically have done on the motocross area, no matter what you, because that's like another mile of the moguls and all that annoying crap. And that's after fatiguing through the swamps most of the time. I've never finished that race, not completely empty and feeling like I went out there and did something, because they have a way of like making you finish in that section, which always just leaves you feeling like you'll want to feel at the end of a race. So I can vouch for that, Rich.
Yeah, I think it's become iconic, maybe just through repetition, and it's got more reps than a lot of the other courses, but I think several of them could have been. I think the Mississippi venue, the Alabama venue, if you just hit those every single year, would have been equally as iconic, but probably more loved. But it's earned its right up there just by kicking off the season so many times.
Alabama's my least favorite course run to date.
Mobile, Alabama. I like really? It. I was down for that yes. kind of course.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. I really like that course.
We did Mississippi one year, and it was pretty awesome.
Was it
for
like
a flat course?
Straight up in the swamps?
There were sections of it, but there were a lot of cool trails to run, too. That, like, packed sand.
Yeah, Jacksonville has some of that in spots.
Yeah.
All right, so we mentioned Seattle, Vegas, Savage Date City, Savage Georgia, Red Deer, Jacksonville. I'm going to vote for Seattle. Giving Jack another one.
Yeah. That one I feel like I deserved. The other is questionable, but...
Where are you leaning?
Seattle. I think Vegas is the sleeper. That's what I think.
You're voting for yourself.
Yep.
I like that confidence.
I'm suppressing my gig reflex, but I'm joining Jack saying Seattle.
Oh. All right, Jack. I think you have all the wins right now. Yeah. Jack, another point for Jack.
Kirk's got to win.
10,000 points for Jack.
Way to go, Jack.
Yeah.
All right. So now I think we've made it back around to Kirk, and now I'm not sure. Kirk might just start being like, hey, let's talk about tracks that we like to run on.
It's a good idea, but why don't we talk altitude mountain courses? Why don't we hit the flip side of that? And I have a strong opinion on that one. So I'll
go right into it.
Yeah, why not?
Existing, right?
Mm-hmm. Existing.
Yeah, Jack's a stickler for that rule.
No. Yeah. Make sure after I've turned up once, I'm making sure that the rules are clear.
this isn't the most glorious venue, but I feel like when you come from sea level and you go up to altitude, the biggest slap in the face is when you need to compete on a runnable grade, which is like that Utah grade for one of its climbs, or sometimes the Tahoe grade. I find that you can bridge the gap the best on the steepest grade possible. Gives you the best fighting chance coming from sea level to altitude, where you almost have forced into a power hike more than a run. And because of my own bias and wanting to see myself succeed, I choose Big Bear, because that course ruined me the first time I was there. It still finished strong. Never experienced relentless climbs that steep in my entire life. Still don't think I have to date, but yet I feel like the low altitude man stands a chance because of the severity of the grade, and those ancillary strengths like leg strength and underlying engine can somehow be used a little more than a 10% runnable grade. Some reason it just doesn't translate aerobically. So Big Bear is my vote, mostly because I think if people are going to dip their toes into the altitude waters, I think Big Bear is going to be an experience. And it's also maybe going to give them a little better chance in a more runnable altitude mountain race.
On that final note, Eric, I feel like you nailed it with the power hiking kind of evening the gap, and then it rewards you for being a good downhill runner, which correct. A lot of people who don't live in the mountains have that skill set. So that even further evens the field.
Correct. So again, this is a personal, I'm looking out for myself here when I pick this one. And the mountain town vibe there in Big Bear is pretty cool. You go to this quaint mountain town, you got this whole feel, you can make a weekend out of it, which is nice as well. Big Bear.
I hate this venue. I really don't like that course at all, just because of how steep it is. Just like, all right, this is just insane. Like, this is like what, like, it's not fun to prepare for a grade like that. When I went, it didn't even matter because I didn't have the climbing ability either. But even just from a spectating perspective, it's just such a grind, super steep downhills. I don't know, but I did go to,
great.
Yeah, I did go to Palm Springs after. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's where you had your big breakthrough, Rich.
Sure did.
In the podcasting world.
Got my
your face out there.
That's right. Started everything.
You're good.
I've only had two OCR venues in my life where I arrived and just driving to the venue got a little like chills or tingle looking at it. And then while you were at the venue, had just a feeling of there's magic in the air. There's something different here, and that's Killington World Championships and Tahoe World Championships. There's just different. There's no experience I've had like that. And I've raced across the world, really. And those two are unique in their world championship events to all other championships I've ever run. And there have been some great other championships, and only one of them's at altitude. So it's an easy choice for me. Tahoe made me feel different than any other place I've ever raced other than Killington. And that spectacle of driving up to it, I don't think has equal anywhere. So in terms of where would I fly to experience something, I would not fly to Big Bear if it wasn't just to try to nail a race.
Have you driven up to Big Bear from LA? It's a gnarly drive. You gain like 6,000 feet of elevation. You go mm-hmm. all the way up. It's not the same. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Not the same. But
entering Squaw Valley, going past the Olympic rings, having this massive expanse of panoramic mountains, I just don't think I could recommend a more like wholesome, maybe not wholesome, but all-encompassing mountain experience to anyone. So Tahoe is my choice. The course itself, I think, lives up to its name. It may not be as steep or nasty or technical or off-roady as other places, but in terms of one all-encompassing altitude experience for someone who only gets one in their life, I don't think I'd send them to Big Bear. I'd want them to enjoy themselves a little more than that.
I didn't talk about enjoying myself. I talked about selfishly having the best chance to
perform. Right. From a race performance perspective, I can't argue you, but from an experience, Tahoe is singular in my 20, 30 years of race experience.
I really like Tahoe. I disagree with you, Kirk, in terms of the runnability part. And with this, because the descents aren't as crazy and I'm not a great descender. Like I was actually having fun doing the descent to Tahoe, and yeah, just how epic it is when you drive up and the feeling of the world championships, like the finish area is really unmatched. I do like some Tahoe. That's for sure.
What do you call
that? Jack, you have Tahoe takes?
I totally agree with the aura. Like, you've got an hour plus from Reno Airport driving in, and you're just like, stuff's getting a little bit serious. And then you get closer, and you're right, you see those Olympic rings, and you're like, this venue means business. And it's similar to OCR Worlds at Stratton, like I mentioned. You just have the village kind of built into the whole racing environment, like right at the bottom. And yeah, I think it's a phenomenal venue. You can't really go against it. And since so many iconic altitude races are no longer exist, whether it's Aspen, Breckenridge, some previous Utah courses, like I don't know how you can go against Tahoe at this point.
I'm going to go with my pick now because I don't have a fourth one written down. So I'm taking Utah here. And because it doesn't have the same type of appeal that, I mean, Ogden's a pretty cool town. We had an okay time there, but just like the driving up until you're in this mountain range, but at the top of that climb, of the highest climb there, it is probably the most beautiful scene that I've experienced in a Spartan race before. Just being able to look out over the mountain range, it is breathtaking. So I really like the course from that perspective. And that's something that always does stick in my mind there. If I was doing that race for fun, it'd probably be amazing, but since it's a mountain altitude course, it's not that fun at the top. But just the scenery up there is really, really great. I think it's as beautiful of a course that we could really kind of ask for from Spartan.
It's treacherous and it's hot. That's the only difficult for, you know, if that's not your type of thing as a destination race, that makes it a little difficult. But still, it had a really high completion rate regardless, and it's been in the U.S. series for the past 2 years for a reason.
And I don't mind coming from the East Coast in the summer with humidity and the heat and then going to a dry course like a Utah. Like, it doesn't feel as hot as it would at like a Palmerton or a Killington or something like that. Yeah. If that was in the summertime. So I think the dry climate makes a world of difference for that as well.
Yep. There are a couple venues that I wish still existed and I think would have given that Tahoe vibe.
We've picked up on that.
yeah. No, Whistler. They only did it one time in British Columbia, and they had it as a mountain series the same exact weekend, opposite coast as Killington. And it was the last race that you had to do like 5 or 6 in the mountain series. Rich, you might have been even part of the mountain series that year. But everybody who ran Whistler, I know, like Ian Hosick, Taylor Turney, Mick Jarello, Sean Stevens, but like a bunch of the top athletes in Canada all showed up there, and every single person said that it was just so scenic. And that whole British Columbia just area from every time you see it on TV or just in some clips, just looks so scenic, and it's at an Olympic venue. I would have loved checking that out.
Are we going to count Whistler here?
No. Point of note.
What do you got?
Are there any other ones that exist in North America at this point?
Mountain altitude.
Mountain altitude.
Say regular altitude.
Are we going for Carson Ridge?
Kelowna will be on the list here shortly.
Yeah, Kelowna. No one knows about. Yeah, check out Kelowna.
I think the important thing is
the Mexico race.
You're going to leave feeling like that race, whatever venue you choose. I always feel like these races always break you down or change you, right? Like even maybe if you live in the mountains, I don't know, but I guess Jack, you're the only one and Rich, you're new to it, but I think either way, you're going to leave satisfied with the fact that you went out there and had sort of like a life athletic changing experience. Every time I do that, still to date, when I go out to the mountains and I race at altitude, it changes me. Something about it just changes me.
We're all trail runners, and just being able to go to these cool parts of the country, it doesn't matter if you had, obviously you want a good performance, but even if you had a so-so performance and you're at a cool venue, you still got to run up some new trails and probably stuck around for a day or two after. I just love checking out the new areas as well.
Very exposing, Kirk. I like what you said about having it kind of change you, because it could be in your world and you go into a race like this and just everything is different. So it does open up your world and what's out there from a running perspective. I'm grateful to have that experience from being a roadrunner into the trails and being able to feel what it's like at a Tahoe or Utah or a Big Bear. It just does really open things up. It's okay, how do we prepare for this? What do we have to do? What do we have to change? Maybe I haven't been doing things right. So, I'm with you on that.
Yep.
Yeah. Since we're stuck with US, I don't think that there are any other ones at altitude currently.
Fort Carson, you got it.
I'm not picking Fort Carson. Tell us how much you like Fort Carson. I know you love
Fort Carson. Fort Carson does actually suck. That really wasn't very much.
Truly sucks.
Yeah. All right, let's vote. So, Jack.
You Tahoe.
Gonna have to go Tahoe here too.
Yeah, Tahoe.
Big Bear.
Woo! Congrats, Bracken. So what is our next category here?
I think we should do two. I think we should do two more for sure. I'd like to get to, and I think one would just be like Bracken said, the overall or the all around. And then I think we should give people maybe some just straight up trail race, whether it's flat or mountain. We can each pick a trail race we know of that might be worth checking out for people.
Okay.
Bracken's getting yelled at by the librarian right now.
We'll pick up his slack here.
I was thinking international or bring it back. I know that we sort of talked about that, but that's all times dependent. So.
What was the first one you said, Kurt?
Oh, just overall, all around.
All around. Okay.
Whatever one you like the most.
We could take the winners.
Personal favorite.
Doubling up. Maybe there's something we haven't talked about yet.
We could double up on that.
If you can only pick one Spartan race for the entire year, one OCR race, venue included, experience included, whatever it was, you get one. Which one do you have to pick? Gun to your head. It's all you get.
Okay. Let's do that after international. Jack, we'll do international.
International.
Fine.
There's so many.
You start.
So many good ones. All right. In Austria, have you ever seen the highlights of that Oberndorf Tyrol race? That's for the European Championship before. You want to talk about different climates and just or whatever the I forget the term that you mentioned earlier. But basically, you start off, you're in a quarry, you're just running through some dry areas, you go up a mountain, then it becomes super, seamy and foggy at the top, and then it gets dry, you run in a riverbed, you have these crazy streams. It's got every single environment that you can imagine in there on a beautiful mountain. You're just in beautiful mountain ranges in Austria, and just Killian, he's been over there twice. Several other European athletes who I've talked with, they all agree if there is one venue in the entire world that is deserving of hosting Spartan World Championship in terms of fairness, they say it's the West Virginia of Europe in terms of all encompassing all the different terrain. You got to go with Austria, in my opinion. It just has such rave reviews from everybody who I've talked to who has raced there.
I like it.
I mean, and Killian, speaking of Killian, I mean, he would travel over there 2 weeks before the Spartan Race World Championship. I think it was 2 weeks before typically, and race the trifecta and go run himself in the dirt. That was part of his lead up for some reason.
Yeah.
But the man had, you know, full day of travel there and a full day of travel back for this race. And I'd say anybody who travels that far, that close to a world championship, is traveling for a very worthy course. And I haven't seen a more scenic course photographed or videoed than that course ever.
Killian would say because he would go to Austria and then he'd come back to Tahoe and it would be easy.
It would seem easy, right?
Yeah, that's what he wanted.
Yeah. It's usually held the second week of, like the end of the first week or second, like around September 6th or 8th or so. So he had about 3 weeks recovery, but I get your point, Kirk. You're not doing that close to an event where your livelihood is on the line financially, unless it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. And he'd often go out there and get schooled. He'd rarely go out there and win. He'd often go out and get beat and then be the world champ 3 weeks later, which is wild.
Bracken, did you sweet talk your way into staying in that study room?
Yeah, I think so. It's going to cost me, but it'll be worth it.
You didn't just tell him it was for the Race Brain podcast? And she's like, oh my God, I didn't realize.
I said, we have Jack Bauer. She's like, oh my goodness, that alone data.
International, Bracken, you have a pick for international?
I mean, races I haven't run, it'd be easy to pick Morzine. It'd be easy to pick Greece. It'd be easy to pick Andorra. I've driven into the place where Andorra is held. My sister played basketball up right near them. And we crossed the border into Andorra one night to go out for dinner. And I looked around and thought, this would be that third venue that makes me feel something. Mm-hmm. It is just crazy scale there. But I'll stick to races I've run. The single best international course I've ever run was in Dubai, the Hatta Beast. It was the regional championship that year. And my brother and I both ran it, and we left telling anyone who would listen, Spartan could host a world championship right here on this course, and not a single person would go away disappointed. Hmm. It had very little true sand running, like what you think about for sand running. And then it was basically like running in Arizona or New Mexico. It's just jagged, harsh, the type of mountains you saw on the news for a long time with Middle Eastern wars. It was those type of mountains, just jagged and rough, some scree, some not. And suddenly you'd come around the corner and there'd be this huge lake up in the mountains or a dam blocked off. And we had like six swims. At one point, we were running through a mountain village with like stone aqueducts through it that we were running along through yards, and there's goats and camels. It was just maybe the most all around, all encompassing course. It was a mountain course, and it was a runnable course, and it was a destination course all in one. It was just crazy scale and scope there. So that would be my vote.
Is there video of that?
Yeah, there is. There was one for a while that it was on Facebook somewhere, and it just showed a good amount of it. And video never captures it, but it did a decent job showing one of the French guys who's doing a lot of the running for Spartan and recording.
Blanc, probably.
Yeah, it was Thomas. So Thomas Blanc had a video of it. It was crazy.
What's the venue called? Dubai, what is it?
Hatta, H-A-T-T-A. It's on the far back side, and we actually ran across and ran past the border with, I think, Oman.
This race doesn't happen anymore, though.
I think it does.
I think they still have that.
What's the venue this year for?
Still in Abu Dhabi. This was Dubai.
Yeah.
Okay. But it wasn't?
Different venue, same nation.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Same general region.
This won't win, but I have to say it because I ran it and it blew my mind.
Your review when you and Kirk on the Running Public, when they announced that World Championship went over to Abu Dhabi, you guys went deep for like an hour and a half or two. And I remember rave reviews from you. So if you want to hear more details, listen to that episode. But it's always stuck with me.
I would travel for that race. But I mean, it's no, any European course would suffice.
That's what I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick any European. I don't know any of these courses. I'm going to maybe Andorra. That sounded great. Sounded lovely.
You're going to win this round, I think.
Can you find Andorra on a map, Rich?
I don't think I know where it is now.
How big is Andorra?
You tell me.
About the size of what state?
Rhode Island.
I don't know, New Jersey.
It's super tiny. So I was just making sure you weren't going to say like Texas or something.
No.
Well, I'm going to lose this round too, for sure, because I'm not picking. I'm picking a domestic race. Hawaii, which might as well be international. Yeah. I have a few athletes who go every year, and we forgot about Hawaii when we talked about non-altitude mountain races.
2 weeks from now.
It is. I got a couple athletes going doing the trifecta out there.
I was saving Hawaii.
You've run it, haven't you?
Yeah, it's on my top 10 all time.
And again, I have no personal experience with it, but every single person that goes out and races, it is like way more gritty than they think. It is like, I got to go back. Nobody's disappointed in the venue, the vibe, the feel. The course itself is nasty, especially in the beast when they let you go run up in those mountains, right? So I did not follow the rules because Hawaii, I believe, is still a state. But yes. It is. Okay, right. But I'm going to go Hawaii. I better win this round.
That Jack might vote for you on this one, just being...
I'll second that. We were down there. Now I went once and did the Aloha Stadium race down there where the Pro Bowl used to be held. And it was the single most disappointing stadium I've ever seen. It looked like it was made out of corrugated tin, like a deep South high school stadium, but bigger. It was shocking how bad it was. However, what is it called? Kahlua Ranch? It's where parts of Soma, like Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Godzilla are filmed. Lost. And they've left a lot of those things there. But those huge, it's like this horseshoe-shaped giant ridge, like 1,000 feet tall. And inside is this lush valley. So it's a two-part race. It is just fast, windy trails. And then you get up in the jungle and it's like you're on another planet. I went down there. I ran it on Saturday. I did the beast. And it was so good.
Did you drag Lisa into this? Hawaii. Isn't this her first and last Spartan race, maybe?
Yeah,
I think it was. Her to Hawaii. Oh, that must have been rough.
Yeah. She always hates when I want to go race in Hawaii. Yeah. It was so good. I came back the next morning and ran the beast again.
Wow.
That's how it was. So, and it always has some sort of rain. So the jungle is always soaked and the rivers are overflowing and the mud is nasty. But at one point we had a 1 mile descent through that. We didn't leave the river. We descended for a mile between ankle and waist deep, going down many water. We just stayed in the river for a mile, like downhill. It was crazy. I've never done anything like that in my life.
I don't feel like that race gets pushed enough on Spartan Race social media. Like that's one of those that if you put it in a foreign country, people would be this like crazy alluring, and it is still alluring, but it would be even more big and eye opening for people. And the curiosity would be struck more. But Hawaii, I've heard nothing but 10 out of 10 reviews.
They should hold the national series race there.
I'd go.
Yeah. They don't care about how much stuff costs clearly. So just make it happen.
Yeah.
I'll vote for it, Kirk. I'm voting for Hawaii on this one.
That's international race, Hawaii.
This is the most American thing ever.
So there. Do you want to just talk about a few other, like Bracken? You mentioned Morzine. What's your take on all the clips on that? Because that was my backup pick. It's so pretty.
I've watched that race several times on the treadmill, and every single clip, every view you see is like the beautiful, stereotypical European mountain. It's just I would go there just to be there.
Is that the course where like they make you basically, I mean, it almost looks like you could, if you fell off, you would die, but it's like a cargo net up like a rock face that you have to go through a river to get to. Is that Morzine where, you know what I'm talking about there? Like it looks unsafe, yet it's still happening.
That they have it like in a waterfall.
It's wild. It's like a 20-foot tall cargo net straight up a rock face. Like if you fell off of that, I think you would die. That's appealing, right?
Yeah.
You can't.
Is that Morzine though? Am I correct? Up. That is that venue.
That's what I'm remembering it as. You run out of the mountain village, up through the trails, through the river, up into that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Bracken, go ahead, Jack.
Oh, I was going to say, and you can't talk international without mentioning Sparta, Greece. Also, just it looks fantastic, and they got really lucky with the name association right there deciding to hold the Trifecta World Championships, but. Similar to Austria, every American athlete who's gone over there has said fantastic things about the venue, and all the Europeans I've talked to as well are like, it's such a fun course.
All right. Who else is voting for Hawaii?
Andorra.
Andorra.
You can't pick Hawaii in the international one. When all right,
who are you picking, US? Jack? Jeez. You picked the Max Apples Mile.
I'm gonna go with, that still exists. I'm going to go with, honestly, Austria. I think it's the best one out there.
You can't vote for your... How we keep voting for ourselves? We keep doing this.
Everyone has. Kirk voted for Hawaii.
So Hawaii wins? Okay.
Jackie could have simply picked Andorra and that would have won, I think. And Kirk, you got to vote too.
Marzine. Because of that, not the potential of death. Give us a scoreboard update, Rich. I'd like to hear.
Let me name one other international one. There's a snow race. It's in Czech Republic or Slovakia. Mm. And one of the things, instead of a spear throw, you like literally have to throw a snowball and hit a target. And it's just like on a ski resort in the winter. And you have to go on a sled or an inner tube downhill. And it looks so fun. I think they had one of those at Greek Peak in New York for a little while, but
that no longer exists.
But that type of course, that's an experience to do.
Not voting for that one.
Scoreboard update, Rich.
You couldn't even tell me what country it was in. I can't vote for it.
It's the Greek Dona Peak? Valley. That's the name of the...
It was either Czech Republic or Slovakia.
Yeah. I'll look.
Can't vote for that.
You want the total updates here, Kirk?
Yeah, you gave Jack 10,000 points for one, I think. And
Yeah. So Sea Level Mountain, Kirk, you won that. Bracken disagrees. Flat, Jack won with Seattle. Altitude, Bracken won with Tahoe. And Stadium.
No, Kirk. I didn't win Tahoe because I voted Big Bear.
Yeah, but I think Jack
3 and
I
to 1.
Voted, everybody voted Tahoe. For you, Bracken.
Yeah. And then Stadium, Kirk, and Jack said the same place, so you guys could get like a half a point each, and then Kirk won. I mean, Jack won on the roads. Clearly.
Kirk can't even name a place outside the U.S. international, so you're gonna bash him the same.
I can name places outside the U.S. I chose not to.
I disagree with this guy.
I
chose to think
outside the box, road courses, which is chose not to.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? Trail.
We could do trail. And then at the end, I want to pitch to see if we, how much time we got. We got some time. Do you think we could even put together like a top 10 list, a race brain top 10 list here?
Sure.
You think we could do that?
I have 5 minutes, maybe 4.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you're out?
Yeah. I think I'm going to get the boot.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm staying till they boot me.
Yeah.
I'll even flip my camera around so you guys can watch it.
Let's try to do a top 10 quick, and then maybe we can talk about trail later. Because I honestly don't have much on the trail end.
That's fine. Yeah, let's do it.
Before you do that, I want to ask a question, which is if you could only pick one race to hold the Spartan Race World Championships for all of eternity, what venue would you choose?
Killington.
You think that's the best test? Would you want to do
that? Yeah, he just said it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
What would you pick?
Austria.
Have you even been there? Have you run that race?
No, but I've seen video of it and it looks pretty cool. Have you ever run Killington? No.
I've been to Killington. I know what it's like.
Yeah, I've snowboarded on it, but that doesn't mean I know what a Spartan race is like on it. Well-roundedness, Austria is more suitable than Killington.
Okay. Kirk?
West Virginia, obviously. I also think there's a slight potential, and I didn't run this part of the course, but you could, I think these two courses, you can't say like, I felt like I didn't have a chance because it was so tailored to one type of athlete. And so West Virginia, or if it were a beast and you went to San Luis Obispo and they use the mountains like they did there with like 20 some hundred feet of gain, there might be an argument for something like that. But mm-hmm. I can't say because I didn't race it. So I'm going to go West Virginia. Nobody's going to cross the line and be like, that was unfair. I didn't get to use my fitness.
I agree. That's what I like about West Virginia. Bracken, what are your...
Which I basically say after every altitude race.
Most races I say that at Spartan race. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not doing this anymore.
I mean, I think West Virginia is the most, if a super at West Virginia would be the most central meeting ground for all skill sets. So that's what I would choose. But for scope and scale, either Killington or Tahoe or Morzine or Andorra, like the mountain crazy races they have the biggest atmosphere. But if you just wanted a world championship test, West Virginia super.
It's the most appropriate course, basically. Yeah.
If I had one choice, though, I would probably say Fenway.
Fair.
What put course it on the do list. You think, would that be the course you think put everybody in the world together on it? That's where you do the best at?
Absolutely.
Okay. What current venue that is still being used to date, if you could just delete it from the whole thing, like this is a giant waste of time.
Mm.
What venue is the low man on the totem pole?
Rich, I'll just fill in Fort Carson for you.
At least they don't force people to come to this race.
Yeah.
Good question, Kirk.
Is it Fort Carson? I heard that race is miserable.
It does suck. Yeah.
Yeah, but sad. Like you still like it's not like a national series.
You're really not obligated.
Like yeah, they're not paying. They didn't even pay out for this race.
Do you think Tahoe's losing some of its luster? Like it's never going to go away. But do you think it should always?
You voted for best of there, and you want to delete it?
No. I'm saying should it always, no matter what, like it should stick around. But should it always have a championship associated with it, or should it be downgraded to a series?
Like this year.
Yeah.
This year it's nothing.
Hey.
24-hour world championship.
But if it was part of the national series, I think that'd be like a pretty cool test.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it's you know, can never not be part of a major race. I'm just wondering, should it ever substitute so that you can bump a different one into that position?
I think Jacksonville's the easy one here. The time of the year, the course itself is like fine. I mean, we talked about it, that kind of talked it up as a decent test, and I think it is, but just like being in February, part of the national series, like I would be okay if that got the Mobile treatment, because Mobile's no more. Had one race, had a national series race there, and they're like, all right, we're good down here.
Yuck.
But probably Jacksonville.
I would, and this is going to seem contradictory to my potential world championship courses, San Luis Obispo, get rid of it. It was uninspiring. There was nothing unique about that course. And even though it suited me better than any other course in the series, like I would never go back there if it wasn't for a series race. There was nothing about it that was unique in any capacity. So I'd just cut it.
Well, what if you hit your spear?
I would say the same thing.
Okay.
Whereas Jacksonville, like I get excited about the grittiness and how different it is. And you don't know what the course conditions are going to be. And you could get eaten by an alligator, all that stuff. And San Luis Obispo was just, it was uninspiring. I thought it was uninspiring.
Yeah. The Jacksonville thing, I did think about that with the gators. I was like, these things are probably not very afraid of us. All other animals, I'm like, they'll go away, but gators.
But I would have gotten rid of the Alabama course for sure. That easily would have been the one I would have got rid of if it was still around.
Got your wish.
One single course, the Richmond Hunt Club at Chicago Super Sprint.
Oh.
I can't stand getting rid of something in the Midwest because we've lost all our races, but I would just replace it. But if I could just do one thing, I'd probably remove racing in the state of California. I don't know if I've ever in my life fully enjoyed a race in California.
Why?
They're just not, I just am terrible out there. So I would just.
Tahoe in California, Brandon?
I don't really count it as California. Oh.
That's why Hawaii, and that's not also. Hawaii is part of the United States.
Yeah. And by that logic, let's get rid of California and keep Tahoe. Give it back to Utah.
You also pick Big Bear to win. So
just to be a stick in the spokes.
Not Monterey, San Jose, not.
No, it all sucks. Malibu is the only course I ever enjoyed.
Temecula
was great, but I suck there. Malibu was pretty sweet, though.
San Jose course, I love that course. I think it's a beautiful course. I sucked there. It was a beautiful course.
I didn't race there. But now Richmond Hunt Club, it's just plow a path through cornfields and run in the hot heat or the muck.
That's how you can
do that anywhere in the world.
I haven't done this course, but like the Ohio course, I feel it's like the same thing. It's like
old Ohio was cool.
Old, I don't know. When was that?
Probably through 15 or 16, maybe 17.
So what are our courses? What if we list them off? Where are we at?
Oh, I didn't
get rid of some.
Mine's Fenway Park. Get rid of that.
Get rid of Fenway?
I don't like it. And I'm a Red Sox fan.
And you're a Sox fan, dude.
Yeah. They put 9,000 people through there.
Doesn't matter. Find 9,000 somewhere else. Do it at Gillette. Just Fenway, just I do not like the angles that they put you in. It's
it's kind of cold too, isn't it? November. It just doesn't
freezing.
That's a race I don't want to do. Not interested. I'm with
banging knees on the bleachers all the time because they're way too close. Like it just. It's
but not you guys can just not go to that one. Richmond is like an hour from my house. It's the only race I can go to race morning.
I could show my laptop out the backyard and you can see where it is. Like, so it's closer for me. And I hate that one also. So it stinks. Yeah, I'm going Fenway.
Is there anything else we need to do here?
No.
I don't know. We could try to do a top 10. Well, we got like 5-10 minutes. If we can do rapid fire, if we don't get stuck in the minutia.
Courses that you want to go back. We don't have to go into detail. I'd like Breckenridge to come back.
Okay, old courses.
Breckenridge was a less inspiring Tahoe to me. Hmm. It was fine, but
I enjoyed it.
Colorado race. That'd be nice to have some
old Asheville.
Old Asheville
in the quarry.
In the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring that baby back in a heartbeat.
You did Tahoe too, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, so cold. Stuck him in the car.
He was there.
Yeah.
It is cold at Tahoe. Okay.
I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people as I would bring back any race in the Midwest that's ever happened one time.
Yes.
I can't drive to a single race from my house. I cannot drive. I cannot justify. It's a 10 or more hour drive to the closest Spartan venue anyways. And out east, you can drive to still 15 races. So just bring them all back.
Mm-hmm. Would you? Why did they get rid of the Minnesota course that would have had in this mountain series that one year?
Single day sprint. It was never back to back. I think the turnout was probably like 2,000 people or something, and they probably couldn't justify hauling all their junk out there.
Yeah. It was a pretty hard course.
It was a legit short mountain, in quotes, course. It's a valid.
It was nasty.
Valid
it was
course,
nasty, for sure.
But I just don't think they're getting the turnout. Yeah.
Bring back all the classics. Asheville, Wintergreen, Tri-State, the originals, the old Indiana, the old Illinois, the ones that people fell in love with in the first place, Glen Rose, Texas. Give me those.
Got another one, King's Domain in Ohio.
King's Domain, yes.
That existed still. That was the inaugural OCR World Championship venue. I believe it was a permanent course. You raced there, Bracken. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, it was just like the most ravine, wooded, filled course I've ever run in. Super technical, a lot of climbing, but a lot of fun and tons of permanent obstacles. Permanent obstacle courses are just always good.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring back Mobile. Okay.
Jesus Christ. Primary.
I liked it.
What did you like about that course?
It was like sort of runnable. It was like flat and like it just kind of run and it wasn't that bad. They had a huge running stretch.
Would you do a road Spartan race, Ridge?
Hell yeah. That one they did at
City?
No, Ocean City, Maryland.
Yeah, the city series.
Yeah. It was like it was like a stadium. All the obstacles were like stadium obstacles, only it was like on a boardwalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely
did. World champ.
Hands down.
Deca, but a 10-mile distance.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I guess that's kind of like High Rocks, but like less light. Yeah, less heavy. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
Deca long, 1 mile between stations.
Oh, yeah. No, I would be the best in the world as soon as it came out. That was the case for sure.
I tripped 3 times in Mobile, Alabama on that course.
Tripped?
I ate shit 3 times on that course. It was one of those courses where it had like it looks flat and then you get to it and there's these little sticks everywhere and these little roots that you don't know are there until you're on the ground. That's what
they knocked. They just bulldozed it over. It felt like or ATV'd over the top.
You ran through little brush piles that they smushed into the earth. It was yucky.
Yeah,
not cool.
They had that clip of Kempson getting hit in the dick with a. I was like, oh my God! He just kept going.
The very worst race I ever ran was the first Tough Mudder I ever ran. And it was in Wisconsin, in the middle of nowhere. It was full 10 miles. And all they did is they took a bulldozer and they just knocked down a 10-mile course through thickets, farm field, and prairie. And it was just all bent over at 90-degree angle, little trees, corn stalks, and ankle biters. It was 10 miles of just getting stabbed by things. It was the worst run I've ever done in my entire life.
We didn't mention a single Tough Mudder. Not one Tough Mudder course made the list.
You don't want to put TMX 2017 on there, Rich?
TMX, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Also a race you could drive to, Kurt.
The worst 20 minutes of my life.
Very humid that day.
It was warm.
All right. We're done. We're finishing this thing up. So we didn't talk about the age group stuff. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But thank you for all that did kind of send us some messages. Anything that we did want to talk about for 5 minutes? I felt like there was a strong divide between – oh, I'm talking about the age group thing.
Oh.
Trail. I don't want to do the trail. No. Anyway, whatever.
There's a strong divide. People were either all for a gated age group or all against it.
Yes. There really was that hard line in the sand.
And I think most of them were your burner accounts that were against it.
And Dave Claxton had my back. He was, because when I was listening back, Jackie mentioned like, oh, don't you want to run against the best of the best? And I think everybody that heard that was like, then run elite. That's like the argument for not having a gated one. It's like, if you wanted to jump in the elite.
I fully see both sides of the argument, but I think more on the top end, you'd want to face that. But if you're not fighting for the win in your age group and you're, you know, that next pack, totally makes sense to stick with who you're with.
All I know is we shot ourselves in the foot with that episode because I had to read through about a dozen novels that got sent to my DMs. Got some people passionate over there about their opinions. So we caused a little more work for ourselves, didn't we?
I received two that I read all the way through and realized they didn't tell me anything or ask a question.
Same.
It was just like people probably going nuts in their car, just like saying things back to us, which is good.
Like I got backstory, I got accomplishments, I got like everything that led up to the point, and there wasn't a point. They just like got some stuff off their chest.
Yeah.
They've been thinking about it a long time.
Like, I'll never get those 5 minutes back.
It showed us that people actually listen. Thank God, and people actually care, because the number of people who reached out was actually pretty impressive.
It's probably
appreciated, whether you agreed with our stance or not.
It's probably a lot of people like the headbands also from the feedback I got, where it's like, if you're in the 40 group, you have like a yellow stripe on the back of it or something. Like,
that's a no brainer. You know, that's just something that they should do. Yeah. Everyone's going to agree with that. Like, yeah, that'd be great if I knew who I was racing against.
Hand out pennies at the start line, like gym class. Fayed for you, not in the Midwest.
Look at the nipple chafage at the pennies though.
Headband then. Have we thought about headbands?
We kick this around.
Superman cape.
All right, that'll wrap us up. We're good to go. Any last thoughts? What do we got on the Running Public this week? You mentioned a Training Tuesday. Bracken still got his Training Tuesday shirt on, as in every Tuesday. What do you guys got going on for the latest?
Did our episode drop yet today as we're recording this, our Training Tuesday?
It goes up as soon as we're done with this.
Okay. What do we talk about again? It's been a day.
What did we talk about? Oh, the gear we're currently using.
The gear we currently use. And then we got Matt Fitzgerald on Friday, the author, for a second time on. We're going to talk about his new book and get caught up and dive into a few things with him.
What did you have last Friday? You?
Go ahead, Bracken.
We recorded a pretty solid interview and we couldn't use it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The audio is just unusable.
Oh, man.
That'll happen. What about you, Rich?
I had a really cool conversation with a guy named Dave Robinson, who is his whole deal is like how words affect the way the stories that we tell ourselves. It was much more about like the mental side of training and living, really. So I really enjoyed that. And not sure what's coming up next week. But
tomorrow,
Michael Sandbach one. I like that interview.
Oh, yeah, the Sandbach?
Yeah. Listened to that recently. That was a good
one. Nice.
Who slid in your DMs this week that we're going to interview tomorrow, Kirk?
Matt Fitzgerald.
She got that. It'll come out Friday morning.
I'm reading that How Bad Do You Want It book right now.
Mm.
Mind Over Muscle. It's good.
Yeah. Comeback quotient. So worth reading, too.
I've only checked out some of his stuff just because it's very prolific and he like ghost writes a lot of stuff too, right?
We can ghost write things.
He like writes with some like a coach. Like a coach will be like it'll be a coach's book, but Matt Fitzgerald kind of writes it.
Ah, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
We'll get to the bottom of that for you.
Yes, ask about that a little bit. And Jack, what do you got going on?
Got a bunch of work to do after this because took some time off to record this podcast. But I'm going to Atlanta, then all in on Palm Beach. So next few weeks, maybe we can get in a session together in a couple weeks.
You and BJ have been spending a lot of time together.
Yeah, we have.
You guys best friends now?
We hang out a lot. We went on that canoe trip.
They haven't defined what the relationship status is.
No, it's cute. It's cute. Yeah.
It's not all about
labels. It's not quite Bracken and Kirk level, but it's getting there.
Well, I mean,
never. Yeah.
No one
That's going to take years. Who am I kidding?
Dude, West Palm's shaping out to be the DECA event.
Should have an episode on that.
Did you guys see Ryland's mile time?
17:03 or something.
40 seconds faster than Kent.
Ouch.
I cannot wait until those two race.
Yeah.
He needs to show up to Palm Beach. It just depends on if you can get work off, but that is the battle I'm looking forward to. And then throw Rich and Riker and everyone in the mix.
Yeah. VJ. And VJ, Dylan Scott said he might come down to it.
All right. I gotta beat Dylan. After all the trash talk that man did around High Rocks, I gotta beat him.
All right. Great job, guys. We're wrapping it up. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.